I think Jesus' vision was inspirational. Now, the Bible also says, my people, for lack of vision, will perish. That's some of the things that even the local churches deal with. We don't do much of it anymore. We used to have visionary meetings and mission statements and all that kind of stuff. But we need a vision for the church and for our own personal life. And that's what the scripture was saying. Without vision, our people will perish. But truly spirit-filled vision that Jesus offered to the people of God's dream of a world, a kingdom, if you would, that would include all people. And I don't know if you know how many all is, but all is all. All people. And offer an abundance, a purpose, a belonging, and healing to everybody who wants it. That's the key. Not everybody wants it. A world that would include a guaranteed life, and in this world and the next. Life that was fulfilling, peace, inspiring, filled with grace and love as people lived in covenant with God and God's promise and purpose. Now, he didn't miss words when it came to the cost of discipleship or aligning with his vision. He clearly laid out the risk and the danger that a disciple of Jesus Christ would likely encounter, which was persecution, hunger, long days of travel, because they walked everywhere they went, disappointment, pushback, anger, and even death. So why in the world would anybody want to sign up for a mission like that and be a disciple of Jesus? Well, I think the answer is simple. Because they believed with all their hearts, their minds, their soul in the vision that Jesus presented. Their faith in God informed them in a gut-certain kind of way that Jesus said. And he was ringing true, and he was trustworthy, and they were willing against all odds to see the mission through to the very end. And they did. Because they knew in their heart of hearts that his vision had become their vision. God's vision. A vision for all. So Jesus' disciple needed to be gut-inspired like we all have to be sometimes, and fully committed. Because going only halfway or half-hearted or half-committed, it never gets the job done. There's close to 3 billion Christians in the world today. And if you think about it, Jesus started with 12, and then he quickly went to 11 when one betrayed him. I always use the analogy of network marketing. But those 12 then, the 12th one was a fellow by the name of Matthew, so they were back to 12, and they went out teaching and sharing. And now, here we are, 2,000 years later, with over 3 billion people who have that same vision. A vision of hope and joy and peace and love and forgiveness and grace and life eternal. Jesus didn't give his disciples a milquetoast or Pollyanna view of the job that was ahead of them. And he was honest, so that he challenged them in ways that sounded like the world's best deterrent. I don't know if I want to do that, Lord. He said, you need to put me first in this mission, first in your life, even before your own family. You need to carry the same cross that I'm destined to carry, even unto death. You will be opposed at every turn and challenged and beyond belief. Every bit of your faith will be tested, dragged through the mud. You'll have to give up your dream of accumulating wealth and status and adhering to the old tradition. This will be the hardest journey that you'll ever undertake. Okay, guys, are you with me? They all took it. Every disciple, at least initially, except for the one that betrayed him, which was Judas, he would break that. But, I love the buts, the others would go on and risk their lives, their lifestyle, their reputation, their well-being, and did so through the hardships of terror and even death. Because they believed in Jesus' identity, his purpose, his vision, and more importantly, his mission. So their loyalty never wavered. Their faith never faltered. And it's incredible when you think about it. But it's still our challenge today. Even in this wonderful country that we call home, the challenge of discipleship, evangelism, apostleship is not the danger that it was in some countries then. even in some countries now in our world. But we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, have grown lackluster, apathetic, immobile, uinspired at times. We cling to our buildings, our past, and our data. But Jesus calls us on to our faith. Faith strong enough to move mountains, our belief in God's vision and power of change and commitment to God's people, our inspiration to see us through all these discipleship challenges. When we believe so deeply and fully in Christ's resurrection and healing power that we're inspired to go out and offer this gift to others, we are challenged to trust so fully in the power and promises that God has given to us that we pray fervently, share thoughts of them, proclaim the vision of Christ to a world filled with love, that even in the face of a world filled with division, we're called. Every one of us are called. We all have a calling, different calling, but the same purpose is to share the vision of Christ. That would require much from us and infuse our lives with His purpose and yield life's reward. Travis not here, and Don's not here, but we got some other retired firefighters in the congregation. We got a volunteer fire department there in Monticello along the thing. They're always looking for volunteers, and they put messages on the sign like we put on the message out here for our sign. And this is what the sign says. Wanted, loyal firefighters. Dangerous work, long hours, no pay, but you get a cool hat. Them hats look like they, I don't know, I'm sure they're designed to protect them, but they sure look bulky. I never wore one. Yeah. Anyhow, that description doesn't really attract anybody, and you wouldn't think, but it's honest and it's authentic to commit to doing the job in the sense of adventure required to see it through. And they got volunteer firefighters. So Jesus continues to call His disciples to trust Him, to have faith in Him, and what God has called Him to do and accomplish in the world with the hearts that are filled with the promise of the gospel. So my challenge before we break for Holy Communion, will you answer that inspiring call? I think I know most of you have in your own way, and I'm thankful for that. And the challenge is always to rise up and be on that adventure of a disciple. For this time and place, and it's His story. We think we use that word history in the English language. And really, history, when you think about it, is His story. God's story. It's the history of the world.